Dr. Beeson, you've written a book called The E-Bomb, How America's New Directed Energy Weapons Will Change the Way Wars Will Be Fought in the Future. How long has your book been out?
It came out about this time last year in hardback, and they just reissued it, in fact, this month, the beginning of the month, in mass market paperback. And so, just out within the past few days.
Which means that it's a reasonable buy, very reasonable now on Amazon.com and places like that, right?
Absolutely. In fact, it's really, talk about being at the right place at the wrong time. The North Korea threat is one of the first ones that I use in the opening chapters of my book.
Let's approach it this way. Let's talk about the chapter that you wrote on North Korea.
Right. Well, one of the real worries is that having a rogue nation like North Korea that had a limited capability to loft intercontinental ballistic missiles, what do you do to stop that threat? Well, that was one of the problems that General Ron Fogelman, who is the four-star chief of staff of the Air Force, had actually encountered back during the first Iraq War. And it was then that the U.S. military had realized is that trying to go after the Scud missile threat, those were tactical ballistic missiles, was nearly impossible because the Iraq was so large, trying to find these missiles before they were launched was nearly impossible because Iraq was such a large country, and trying to target them and then get them to down them was, again, nearly an impossible task. And that's when the concept of having a huge weaponizable laser, that is a laser that was big enough to actually bring down ballistic missiles and put that on an aircraft, was considered to be one way to be able to kill ballistic missiles as they were being launched. And this concept that is known as the airborne laser actually grew from the 90s. A special program office was established at Kirtland Air Force Base outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And today we have a jet aircraft the size of a 747 that is being outfitted with a laser that is in what they call the megawatt class power level to be able to fly outside of a adversary's borders, and when a missile is launched, the U.S. will soon have the capability to bring that missile down with using not anti-missile missiles, but by using a huge, powerful laser that's on board this aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Backing up just a little bit, Doctor, there was a lot of controversy about how many Scuds, which actually were launched, that we brought down with anti-missiles. Do you know what the actual record is or was?
Well, from what I understand, there was actually no 100% intercepts of the warhead itself. That is, if you look at the Patriot missiles that were used during the first Iraq conflict, none of the warheads were directly hit. On the other hand, some of the missile bodies were hit. But from what I understand is that this is the post-war analysis that was conducted, that there were no actual warheads that were directly hit by any of these Patriot missiles.
Wow. But we actually did bring some down by hitting the missile bodies?
Or else we were very close. We were able to detonate very close to them. Of course, that was using that 1980s technology with that. But the problem, though, with trying to intercept a missile with a another missile is that these missiles, anti-missiles, all travel at ballistic missile speed, that is many thousands of feet per second. And during that time, these missiles can take what they call evasive maneuvers, that is that they can try to detect the oncoming anti-missile, and they can try to move if you have that type of sophisticated apparatus. Now, of course, nowadays, the adversary countries such as North Korea, it's debatable whether or not they have that capability. But if you were to go against any type of adversary using a traditional conventional warhead, then you always have to take the time of flight into consideration. That is, you have to calculate where the missile is going to be, and you have to not shoot directly at the missile that you're trying to bring down, but you have to calculate the trajectory and then try to shoot that missile down where you think it's going to be. And that's one of the beauties of having a directed energy weapon such as a laser. That is, because lasers are made up of parts of the electromagnetic spectrum, just like light. Light travels at the speed of light. Laser energy travels at the speed of light. And so, therefore, all you have to do is aim it, and you have, and you instantly deposit the energy where you want to aim it.
Right. So hitting a missile in flight is not so tough for a laser compared to an anti-missile.
That's right. Now, it's still a pretty tough problem. And in fact, our whole missile defense strategy is based upon not just relying on one type of technology to bring down these missiles. And that's why I think that it will be a very successful program, because you're not looking for what is known as just the silver bullet. That is just one type of technology. That is, at the very beginning of the conflict, when the adversary is just launching these missiles, you go after the missiles, those missiles, in what they call the boost phase. That is, when the missiles are still accelerating into the air, you can detect them very easily, and they're very fragile.
Yeah, they're moving quite slowly compared to what they're going to be doing.
Exactly, and the United States has chosen to use the airborne laser, for example, as one of the ways to kill off a certain percentage of those missiles while it's still in that so-called boost phase.
Okay, again, Doctor, I don't want to ask you anything classified, but one obvious question is, what would the range of such a device be?
Well, the typical scenario of the airborne laser is to stand off a few, at least 100 kilometers, if not further, from the adversary's borders. And when the missile launch is detected, you watch that missile as it rises above the ground, and there are various sensors that you can engage to do that. And it's just not one sensor, but there are radar sensors, there are optical sensors, and some of those sensors are actually on board the airborne laser itself. And then when the missile accelerates above what they call the cloud layer, that is typically above 30 to 40,000 feet, then the airborne laser engages its laser onto that missile. That is, it locks onto it. There are several smaller, lower-power lasers that actually track the still accelerating missile. They not only track it, but also they compensate for the atmosphere. That is, the atmosphere itself is changing. It's fluctuating. There's differences in the atmosphere because of the atmospheric differences. There's dust in the air. There's water in the air. And all these things causes the laser beam to break up as it's going towards the missile. And there are methods that is called atmospheric compensation methods that actually focus the laser beam through these distorted atmosphere patches so that when it reaches the actual missile itself, it's at its focal length, that is, it's at its most powerful.